Hi, thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing podcast series from Physio My Dog. I'm Harriet Kitkat and I'm from Physio My Dog. I'm a vet physiotherapist specialising in dogs, but I'm also a dog owner myself, and I'm also incredibly nosy and interested in knowing more and more about what we can do as dog owners, but also as therapists as to what we can do to help dogs. So I hope you find this series useful. Hey, so welcome everyone to another exciting episode of our lovely podcast series. As you can normally tell from my voice, I'm always so interested in everyone's story, and I'm even more excited to be able to talk to my good friend Donna, who I'll ask to introduce in a second. But really, you know, as most of you that have been listening to any of these regular podcasts, it's more about, you know, hearing some of the stories, and there's so many fascinating stories, and I don't think we could ever get bored of listening to them. And every dog, every animal, every therapist, every owner, you know, we all have our own story. We all have our own backstory. And I think it's just really, we can, and that's how we all learn, you know, that's how we all learn about and become interested in new things. So Donna has got a huge amount of stories to share with us. So without further ado, Donna, do you want to introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about, well, your name, where you're based, what you're doing now. And then I can maybe prompt you a little bit more about some of the, do instruction, and then I can prompt you a little bit more about what we can talk about.
Awesome. Yes. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having me, Harriet. I'm looking forward to this. So, yes, it's really kind of you to have me on your show. That was a lot of data to try and remember to say. I'm Donna Wills. I am based in Berkshire on the sort of Surrey border. So I cover quite a large area, and I also have a base in Wiltshire as well, so North Wiltshire. I've been doing my physio for a very long time, 16 years now, and I'm absolutely in love with this career. It's the best thing ever. I have zero regret. It's a lot of fun. But I started out my life as a veterinary nurse, and so I've been in the industry for literally my entire career. Having qualified working as a nurse 20 years ago. Qualifying 17 years ago. It's been a very long journey, but a lot of fun.
And so when you were doing your nursing, were you thinking, right, I want to do something different now? Tell us a little bit more about some of your experiences as a nurse, but more how that then sort of how physio ended up kind of coming into your life.
Of course. So it was a weird one, actually, because at college, I went to agricultural college and I absolutely loved working with animals. So there was obviously no question about where I was going to go with my life. But actually, I must admit, I wasn't necessarily thinking nursing was the route, funnily enough. But I actually wanted to be an animal physio right from the start. But back then, the rules were different and I had to do human physio to become a animal physio, and actually I really didn't want to do that because I really didn't want to work on people, which sounds really weird, I guess, but it kind of grossed me out. So I was very much animals through and through, and yeah, if you ask me to clean up a human pile of puke, if it's not my daughters, I don't think I could do it. Even my husband has to sort himself out. But animals, nope, that's fine. Anything goes. because I couldn't do the physio, I obviously opted to do nursing. And that was absolutely great. I loved my nursing career. I honestly can't tell you how much I love my nursing career. But in the background, I still had a passion for rehab. And I ended up moving to Berkshire, bizarrely, just because I had a paid interview offered to me. Mm-hmm. And I then got the job. So that was that. I then moved. And I ended up going to a talk with a local hydrotherapy pool. And they mentioned, the person who was doing the talk mentioned about TCAP, which is where I trained to do my physio. And so, funnily enough, I had a great relationship with the receptionist at the veterinary practice. And I'm sure that the boss may not want to know this, but she was like, oh, go on, Donna, go on, Donna. And and so I ended up looking into it. And so I'd relatively recently qualified as a nurse, but obviously with nursing, you work a long time as a nurse before you actually qualify anyway. Mm. Well, you do with my route. And so I'd been nursing for a long time. And so anyway, I applied to do the physio course because it was the only one available for people that were animal based and not human based. And I got my place, and that was that, really. So,
oh my
yeah.
goodness! So what made so if I'm understanding correctly, so you became a nurse because you couldn't do the physio at the beginning when you first started out. But so what made you want to be doing physio even in the first place, even before you started your nursing? What made you want to do physio?
Do you know, I can't tell you. I've got no idea.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. But I guess this is where I'm going to go all a bit spiritual. I think sometimes you just know.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, yeah. You just have a feeling. And that was the feeling that popped in my head. You know, it wasn't like I was working nursing thinking, oh, damn, I wish I could do something else. I loved my nursing. But, you know, obviously there was a gravity there towards physio. I've got no idea. But I am a very sporty person. And I had some physio on myself. So whether or not that had some influence, it may have done.
What about any kind of pets or anything when you were growing up? Was there any ones that you think, oh, I want to fix them? You know, can I? No. Oh, that's really interesting.
I know. It's weird, isn't it? But, you know, now that I've got my older dog now, I wouldn't, you know, I'm so like, well, boy, have I got the best career ever, because I can look after him and feel confident about that, you know. And
yeah,
he's so old. He's nearly 16. So he needs help. And he's had, you know, a lot of benefit of my help for a lot of years. And so, you know, now I'm obviously in that situation. But no, back then, physio wasn't even a thing on animals. Like, really, I don't really know why I even thought of it, because, like, it really had not been going strongly at all. You know, when I did take my nursing job, yeah, there was a physio, actually. The vet did refer the occasional dog to, but she wasn't talked about very much in the practice or anything. Honestly, it was not a big thing in the slightest. So it's really hard to say why I wanted to get into it. But I just had this feeling that that's what I wanted to do.
It was your calling. It was your calling.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell us a little bit more then about your physio career. Because as I say, I know there's lots of different exciting stories that you've done. So you were a vet nurse. Well, how long roughly were you a vet nurse for?
So I was nursing at that stage. I'd been nursing for 4 years, and then I did the physio course, but I did that alongside working as a nurse as well. So there's been a lot of overlap in my career. I'm a multitasker.
And so
I changed over to emergency and critical care nursing when I started my physio qualification, just because it meant I could condense my hours together and do very, very long shifts. But it meant I only did a couple of them a week, and so I could study harder, which was fantastic. And actually, again, that was another amazing thing that happened, because turns out I loved emergency nursing. It was the best, because you just have to get on with it, you know, and it really is quite incredibly tense on your head. But incredible outcome. I mean, you feel amazing that you've just saved a life, and that's all you do every day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I loved my emergency nursing. And so I actually kept that up for quite a few years once I'd qualified as physio. So I was able to sort of multitask and run, you know, start up my business at the same time as being a physio, being a nurse. So there was some overlap, but it also worked out well because it was a way of me generating connections with vets, because I met loads of vets and, you know, created good friendships, and it meant they knew who I was, they knew, you know, my background, and they were happy to refer to me. So that was one of the, you know, reasons why I got one of my clinics in Reading, you know, came because they knew me through my because I was based there as an emergency nurse. So it's been an amazing journey.
It has. So when you first started practicing then as a physio, how did you operate? Were you based at vets, or did people, or were you mobile? How did you kind of set yourself up?
So really long, weird story of overlap again. So I decided I needed bases in veterinary practices, but my main income was working as an emergency nurse. So I at first was mobile because that was the best way for it to work. But headspace wise, I had to start getting myself back to a normal routine of not being awake at night and asleep in the day, because that was quite tough. And so I actually moved to Battersea Dogs and Cats Home, where I worked for a while, about a year. And so I worked around that in, you know, as a mobile physio. And then I also moved over to Vets for Pets in Newbury, where I was a practice manager and head nurse. And that was kind of the last 3 months of nursing that I did as a main nurse. I did do some locuming still while I got this all set up. But that was the point where I realised, no, I need to just throw my everything into the physio, because that's where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I, you know, physio in a, working in a rescue setting was amazing, but mentally so tough.
And so was that your nursing that you were doing at Battersea?
It was, yeah. But I did some physio there, but you know, was mainly nursing. They tried to embrace my physio, but obviously it was difficult for them to sort of work it through, because obviously those animals are trying to get rehomed. So it's kind of a different scenario. And then when I went to Vets for Pets, it was also, they wanted me to be a practice manager, and they wanted the physio to be there, but not as a main thing. And I was like, well, hang on, I've, you know, spent a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of everything doing my physio. That's really what I want to do. So it made me kick myself up the butt and go, come on, make it happen. So that was great, though, because I had another connection. So I had another veterinary practice that you under my belt that knew me, which was Vets for Pets in Newbury. And so, so at this stage, I thought, right, that's it, I'm going to do it. So I left Vets for Pets as the practice manager and stuff, and set up my clinic one day a week there. And then I also approached back to my old vets where I'd been an emergency nurse and had one day a week there, and then found some other vets as well. And so basically I had one day a week in various locations, one in Forest House Vets in Windsor, one in Castle Vets in Reading, one in Vets for Pets in Newbury. One of the vets left there as well and set up her own in Swindon. So I then got my clinic in companion care in Swindon. And so, yeah, it was amazing. And then I had my little base at home, because I did manage to put a summer house in at home. So that helped. And over time it grew as well, because I did end up then with another clinic in Portsmouth, and then my piece de resistance, my clinic in Harrods in London. So
So tell us about this, because this was quite a thing, wasn't it?
Oh, it was huge. It was absolutely huge. And I look back at it with such fond memories, because it was so much fun as well. And the most bizarre thing in the world, I mean, at no point in my animal career, you know, when you're getting covered in anal gland juice and cleaning up poop and all the other things that go on as a veterinary nurse, at no point did I think glamour was going to be part of my life. and then all of a sudden, I mean, how the situation was that I, you know, my networking skills, I think, are quite high, in that, you know, when you've got your own business, you have to make sure that you do your utmost to work hard to meet and greet, and you know, not let any opportunities slide by. So you have to put yourself out there, and I was forever putting myself out there. I was so cheeky. I mean, I wrote to the Queen, I've done everything. Well, you know, why not, right?
Did you get a reply when you wrote to the Queen?
Oh, I did, yeah. And I got and it was so funny, because even the postman said, oh my God, Donna, you've got a letter from Buckingham Palace. He like knocked on the door and said, I'm not leaving until you tell me what's in there. So I had a good relationship with the postman. He was a neighbour.
I have to ask him, when you wrote to the Queen, what you were actually asking her, what did you actually say in your letter?
I was just offering my services.
Oh,
as a local person, you know, I was, you know, local business person offering my services to her. She lives in Windsor. She's
done rent. Yeah, exactly. What was the reply?
The reply was beautiful. And, you know, I'm going to say, though, you know, you can't just randomly write in a bit of old tat. You have got to do your formals, you know, and do all your Googling to try and work out, you know, how you actually write to the Queen, because there was a lot about it, the right paper, the right address to the Queen, and, you know, all that sort of thing. It's very formal. And then the reply I got back was absolutely lovely. It was very kindly saying, thank you so much for your offer. We will keep you in mind. At this time, that's not required. But it came from one of her ladies in waiting. Do all of the posts and stuff, but it all came. I've still got that letter. I'll never get rid of it. That is
no, that's a bit of history.
Oh, exactly. And I look back on that letter, and it's quite motivating, because I think, God, you cheeky cow. I just can't believe I did it, you know, but that's what you do when you've got business, right? You just reach out.
Exactly. So I kind of like sidetracked you a little bit there, but let's go back to the Harrods thing. So tell us what you actually were doing in Harrods and how it kind of came about.
Yes, no, absolutely. So again, that was my networking. So I, you know, totted off to Crufts. I mean, totally ridiculous. I look back now and think, Crufts isn't exactly local. What were you doing? What were you thinking? But apparently it was the right thing to do. Went off to Crufts with my flyers and I took them around all of the stalls and, you know, talked to people and stuff like that. And then it was years later that this Harrods thing came up, but I was trying desperately to work out ways, because you've got to think, I've been a physio for many years, like a long time. And 16 years ago, people were like, ugh, physio for animals, you weirdo. And that's still, that comment still gets said to this day. So you know, when that's your battle, you can't be complacent. You've got to do everything. And so I had sort of, you know, put my flyers out, put myself out there. And then I did approach Harrods in, you know, saying like, you know, do you want to do this sort of thing? Because this would be pretty cool. And they were like, well, now, funnily enough, we're about to open a pet spa. Let me put you through to Steph, who was the person who was managing it. And I was like, whoa, this is weird. And anyway, I picked up the phone to contact her. And she said, you're kidding. I was literally about to call you. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, I met you at Crufts. I was like, oh my god, small world. So she was checking me out. I didn't realize that she'd been looking on my website and stuff like that. And so she, because obviously with Harrods they only want to do the best, you know. So she was doing her background, and I was thrilled. So I went and had a meeting with her massively across the country, because that's where she was based, and we had an amazing talk and discussed how it would work and how we'd move that forwards and stuff. And then yeah, I was the official physio for the pet spa at Harrods.
So what kind of setup was there at Harrods then? So you said they had a pet spa, so how, what was the kind of, talk us through what it actually looked like, what could dogs do when they were there?
Oh my God, it was amazing. It was the funnest thing you've ever seen. But everything I will say was premium, absolute premium. It was the best of the best. So but it, you know, the whole ambiance of being in Harrods is the best of the best. They give you a big 2-day training thing and it's actually really cool. Like, I really appreciated them. Like, I had no idea how welcoming they were. They appreciate completely that anybody can be anybody. And I liked working with somebody like that, you know. That was an amazing thing. And they said, like, Piers Brosnan used to work in the chemist there. Yeah, so that was their point, was that anyone can be anyone. So you treat everybody with the utmost respect. And I was like, wow, that's something you want to hear from a boss, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was lovely. And so their setup was that they had a spa put in the pet section upstairs. And they were really good, actually, as well, because they talked to us about the sort of ethical side. And because obviously lots of people worry about, you know, the fact that they were selling dogs and stuff like that. And they talked to us about how they did that. And actually, I have to say, I found a lot of respect for them, because it was a side of things I hadn't thought of. You know, like, you know, rich people, I mean, you know, I shouldn't blanket this with all of them, but a lot of them have got PAs and they don't, you know, think, oh, I want a bulldog, I'll go and do my research. They think, oh, I want a bulldog, can you go get one for me?
Yeah,
you
know,
so
yeah.
So Harrods were providing a necessary service and that was quite incredible. Yeah, I thought that hadn't crossed my mind. And then the pet spa was just, I mean, it was incredible. The staff were lovely. They did amazing things. We had all sorts. So like in the grooming section, so obviously I wasn't anything to do with the grooming section as such. But they had like blueberry facials and glitter party spritz and yeah, it was so cool. But the dogs were treated amazingly. One time we had Marnie come in and we did a doga session and that was really cool. She runs doga now. She's crazy and lovely.
So just explain what doga is for people that won't know what it is.
Sure. Doga is yoga. And you think that it's yoga for dogs, but it's not. It's yoga that you do with your dog present. And what that, it keeps you focused. I really like it, actually, in that you do your yoga. And as you're doing your breathing and calming and all that stuff, the dogs just come and get involved. And you can sometimes use them as your stretch method. So an example might be where you're sat on the floor with your you know, legs in straddle, and you sort of stretch forwards and cuddle your dog at the same time. I mean, what sort of a motivation is that? That's so cool, isn't it? You want to give your dog a cuddle, so it makes you do that. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, it was very funny because everybody else had tiny little weenie dogs. So when they were doing their sort of lifting up to heaven, they could easily do it with their tiny weenies. Whereas I had a border collie with me. So so it did end up being quite a giggle fest. But it was really nice to see how the dogs at first were all a bit like, oh, this is weird. What's mum doing? And then by the end, the dogs were all chilled and just laying, like just touching you. And that was a really nice thing to see. So, yeah, I was completely sold on Doga. And yeah, it's been, that was an amazing connection. And
they did the grooming, then they did the Doga. And then what kind of stuff were you doing when you were there?
So I had a treadmill there, so they could do like exercise sessions. And then we were even offering like mother and fur child exercise sessions with a personal trainer. And so I would do the animal bit. The personal trainer did the human bit. And then I did my physio and luxury massages. So I did both. So I was very much doing my physio. That was absolutely what my title was there. But then I also did luxury massage as well, which I have to say I really enjoyed. It was really lovely. I mean, didn't half hear some comments from outside because it was quite funny. In that the dogs would be so relaxed that they would lay down and just chill. But then outside, the receptionist would tell me they could hear people saying, oh my God, they sedated the dogs. And it's like, no, that never happened at all. But of course, Harrods don't explain because they just don't need to. And yeah. So that is totally fine. And so if anyone stayed long enough to watch, they would see the dog just get up perfectly happily afterwards. So yeah, they were just chilled. They just loved it.
Oh my gosh, what an amazing experience.
It was very cool. And I mean, I did have a bit out of my nursing side. So I did do some weight management stuff and some tortoise grooming. That was me as well, which sounds bizarre, but it was lovely.
You did that at Harrods as well?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Oh, wow. Yeah. What an amazing. Yeah, that is such. And were you there? How often would you be there? Like every day or like just one?
No, they were really good about condensing my day. So I was there one day a week, and which was fantastic that they just made that work. Because it was lovely for me. The experience was incredible. I mean, I used to, you know, get on my train, totter off into Harrods, take my dog. He was famous because he pooed in there. That made me laugh. But so many amazing, cool things happened because of it as well. Like my dog was the doggy in the window because we did a window display on Brompton Road. That is huge, by the way. Like, that is massive. Window displays in Harrods are insane.
Yeah.
It's so expensive. It's a massive, prestigious thing. So for us to all be on display in there ourselves was just nuts. And so I was massaging Logan like all day in the window. He couldn't have been more happy. So that was very cool. And it led to some lot of media, and my goodness me, because Harrods come down, like management come down with any articles that you're in. And I remember like one time that they came down with this article. It was just a photo of me massaging a dog, but it was all written in Mandarin. I had no clue what it said. But it was so cool that had made, you know, some massive magazine somewhere. And that happened a lot. And we met amazing celebrities. You know, some of them would come in and watch, some of them wouldn't. I mean, to be honest, I didn't know who most of these people were. But, you know, I was later told. So, yeah, that was quite funny. It was incredible. And then, of course, it led to some TV stuff as well. And it's funny because when, you know, if you'd have asked me back at the start of my career, do you want to be on TV? Is your career going to end up that way? I'd have been like, no. Weirdo, why would a nurse end up on TV? Why would a physio end up on TV? I mean, I suppose just look at Supervet to know that that's crazy.
Well, exactly. So tell us about that's quite a nice natural kind of progression. So tell us some about, because I know some of them, but I might not know all of your stories about TV. So tell us about, I know definitely one that I can think of, but tell us a little bit more about those.
There were a few different ones, and some lovely stories to go with it. I mean, I think I did Daybreak. That was a very funny story came out of that one because I did Daybreak. That was recorded, pre-recorded at Harrods. And then the next day, I think it was, I was working at my Forest House clinic. And oh my God, it was so funny because I was doing a massage on her dog. And she said, "Oh, Donna, you'll never believe what I saw this morning." There was a girl on the TV and she was doing stuff and she looked just like you and she was doing stuff just like you're doing. I said to my husband, "That's just like Donna, that's just like what she does." And I said, "That's because it was me." And she said, "What? No way." And she completely had not realized that it was me in the slightest, even though it absolutely was. It was so funny.
Oh my God.
"But you're here," and I said it was pre-recorded, and she was like, "No way." That was really funny. And then I did quite a few live stuff bits. They were like did the Alan Titchmarsh show, and that was just so bonkers because, you know, after recording you get back to your dressing room and then there's all these messages from people you know saying, "Oh my God, I just saw your TV." And you're like,
"What were you doing? What were you doing on Titchmarsh?"
So he was interviewing us all from from the Pets Bar, but we all went into the BBC studios for that one. Mm. So that was weird because we had to do like, it's live. So you get a dress rehearsal, but not like, it's not necessarily how it's going to end up being. Mm. That was really weird. And so like, so bizarre. I mean, it did have a moment of prestige for me in that, you know, we got a car into the studio and, you know, and then they gave us the car back out and it was so cool. And then afterwards you got to go in the green room. And then of course in the green room, you're mingling with all these other celebs. And I'm like, "Oh my God." And like the guy, there was a guy on there. Can't remember his name. I'm terrible with names. But he was from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. And he was just there reading his newspaper. And I was just staring, thinking, like, "You're from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I grew up watching you. This is freaking me out. Like, what?" And there was another girl, like, she was one of the Bond ladies. And I can't think what her name is. And, you know, there was just so many people. It was amazing. And I was in, like, having makeup done with another celeb. I think she was from possibly Hollyoaks. I can't remember now. But it was just too weird. The whole thing freaked me out. And they use like a spray paint to get on your face, by the way. That was freaking me out. Like, get off with the spray paint. And, you know, like it's all stage makeup. And that's disgusting, by the way. It does not feel nice. You feel like you've just been slapped with meringue pie. It's horrible.
So what other TV ones were you on? So you're on Daybreak, Alan Titchmarsh.
I did Sunday Brunch. So that was very cool because Tim Lovejoy, funny actually, because I didn't really think that he was a particularly nice person before. It just goes to show how terribly judgmental you can be. I didn't have a massive issue. I just didn't really watch like Sunday Brunch because I just didn't get on with it. And then after that, oh my God, he's so lovely. He really is lovely. And he was so funny. And so, yeah, we went into the studio there, which is bizarre because it's in a shopping centre, which I found totally weird. Had to drive myself to that one.
No car.
Yeah, no car. But I went with my husband, so that was nice. And so he was there. And, so he was lapping it all up as well because he was sat in the green room with, oh, God, who's the guy who's in One Foot in the Grave? I don't believe it.
Oh, yeah, I know who you mean. Yeah. Victor Meldrew's his character, isn't it?
I want to say Richard. But anyway, he was in there with him. And I was like, I said, because my husband can be incredibly embarrassing. I said, "You didn't say it to him, did you?" And he said, "I can't tell you how much it took me to resist."
Oh, bless him. Oh, bless him. I would say, were you on there? Was that off the back of Harrods?
It was. Yeah, we were all there because of the Pets Bar sort of showing what we do. And so I was massaging a dog on TV and, you know, the others were sort of talking about their grooming and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was really, really lovely. And we met Stacey Solomon because she was in that day as well. So, it was totally, totally bizarre. And then more of that spray paint. Ugh, on my face. That's the worst thing about it, honestly. Disgusting.
And you got to meet Alan Carr, didn't you, on another TV Was it Alan
Oh, God,
Carr?
yeah. Oh, God, that's terrible. I can't believe I forgot that because he was lovely. Yeah, so I did Crufts Extra. So, yeah, that was Alan Carr and Claire Balding. And, oh, wow, I have to say, they were so lovely. So they have been on Crufts Extra because they were doing a segment on dog relaxation and they had a whole band in doing playing music for dogs. And then I was obviously there because of my puppy massage DVD. And they called me in to go and do that. And I have to say that was so lovely. Alan Carr is so kind, as is Claire Balding. She's just,
And
they're
they're
just
massive,
such
yeah. And
lovely
they love
people.
animals as well, don't they? Those two. I think they've both got dogs, haven't they?
Totally. Totally. But the thing also I liked was like, so I had a t-shirt on that technically I wasn't supposed to wear because it was advertising. And but I was there working at my standing Crofts, didn't have any other clothes. And I went in and I said to Alan, I said, oh God, I've only got this to wear. And he said, oh no, make the most of it. And then told me to carry on and just make sure that I did everything I could. And I was just like, oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. And
It's
so
so funny. I remember watching that. I actually do remember watching you on Crofts because me, I obviously didn't know you then. But I remember it was one of the first Crofts that I'd ever really watched. And cause I think it was not long. Cause that's probably, I'm thinking that's probably about 6 or 7 years ago, was it, that you did that?
God blimey, yeah, it is actually, yeah.
Yeah, because it was when
Wow.
I was, I think, yeah, I remember watching it, and I remember, that's amazing that like massage is on TV for dogs, you know, because I just thought how important that was, that actually people
Yeah.
could see that kind of stuff sort of happens. So you've got loads of like fab stories, and then you mentioned very, very briefly your DVD. So you've done, tell us a little bit about that, your the puppy massage DVD.
Thanks for listening to the It's Not Just One Thing That Will Help Your Dog podcast. I really hope you've enjoyed it and found it useful. If you'd like any more information about anything that we've been discussing, please contact me. You can find my website by googling Physio My Dog. You can also look me up on Facebook and Instagram under the same name, Physio My Dog. I look forward to hearing from you.